Drew has already introduced the idea of memory. So, how good is your memory? Do you remember your birthday? Maybe better to ask, do you remember your best friend's birthday? Your spouse's birthday, your parents' birthday, your children's birthday. If you're married, do you remember your anniversary? How many years? That may be the harder one to kind of figure out. We go on trips and we bring things home. We bring memories. To help the memory, we bring home our pictures. We might bring home a souvenir. Maybe you have in your house souvenirs, and when you see them, it brings back, I remember that trip. I remember that event. Facebook now will even suggest memories. This happened a year ago, 3 years ago. Here's what you posted 5 years ago. You've been friends for 5 years with this person. We sometimes need those reminders. But we also have a cultural memory. July 4th. Independence Day. We remember declaring independence from England. 1836, a famous phrase became known. Remember the Alamo, 1836, early. 1836, battle for Texas independence. 1898, remember the Maine. Do any of you remember the Maine? Gave a good excuse to start the American-Spanish War. If you are from Canada, if you are a Quebecer, Quebecois, je me souviens, I remember. Some discussion about what's being remembered, but that is the Quebec motto, I remember. We have, here in this country, we don't call it Remembrance Day, but in much of the rest of the world, Remembrance Day is November the 11th. And what's it remembering? Armistice Day, the end of World War I, and we remember. And then if you're British, you may not remember July 4th as much, though you do have July 4th. They will remember the 5th of November. And a guy by the name of Guy Fawkes and the gunpowder plot in his attempt to blow up the Houses of Parliament so that Roman Catholicism might be reestablished in England. That's our cultural memory. Well, the Christian faith is grounded in history. In many ways, it's grounded in memory. The objective truth of events that have happened in history. And we interact with those in a subjective way. There's a reality for us as well. It's our subjective experience of what God has done for us in those historical events. And Peter is very concerned in his letter that we don't forget these things, that we remember these things in order that we might gain the eternal kingdom. So turn to 2 Peter, chapter 1. By now, I'm hoping that if you're a member here, that this is becoming quite familiar text. But I'm going a little further today in our reading. So we'll start at verse 5 and read through verse 15. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with excellence, and excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my exodus, you may be able at any time to recall these things. In four verses, verses 12, 13, 14, and 15, three times Peter makes reference to remembering. I'm reminding you. I'm writing as a reminder. I'm writing so that you may be able to recall to mind, or really bring to memory. Peter really doesn't want us to forget. He really is coming again and again. He says, this is nothing new, but I'm stirring you up in your remembrance. Maybe you have received a memo. Memo is a shortened form of memorandum. And that comes from the Middle English, which means to be remembered. So the boss, HR department, somebody may send a memo to the employees. This is to be remembered. So we're just sending a memo, you know, don't park here. There's a memo. Make sure when you leave, do this. Since I teach part-time from time to time for Geneva College, I have a Geneva email address, and I see all kinds of memos coming from various departments about stuff happening on campus. It doesn't affect me because I'm not there, but I see them. Oh, there's a reminder. Yeah, don't park here. There's a reminder the computer will be down over the weekend. There's a reminder of this over and over and over again. Why? Because they know that somebody's going to park in the wrong place. They know somebody's going to try to log on when it's not available. So they send memos, memoranda, because people don't remember. Written reminders. We do the same. We may not do a memo, but if you have children, you may be reminding them of things over and over again. Take out the trash. A little later, it's still there. Hey, take out the trash. Clean your room. Or we're in Western Pennsylvania, red up your room. My sister-in-law has told her children for a long, long time, and even now continues, make wise choices. She reminds them over and over again. Not that she really thinks they're going to make foolish choices, but she simply reminds them, make wise choices. Our deacons regularly put before us our code of conduct. Why? To remind us of some of the policies of how we operate here, particularly interacting with children. Why do we do that? Well, for the safety of children, for the protection of volunteers. We want to have a good reputation in the community. So we have a code of conduct. Here's how we conduct ourselves in these various areas. Very important. We need to remember, because we are very good at forgetting. Vicki came home this past week and said, hey, did you get to Aldi? Completely forgot to go to Aldi. It's sort of on my way home. I don't actually pass it, but I can get close, but completely forgot. He was an excuse to go together. But we're good at forgetting. I received an email this week bemoaning this very fact. This is what the author said. When it comes to our spiritual lives, we memory-challenged people need constant encouragement and edification. This is what Peter is doing. He's stirring them up in their memory that they might remember. And Drew's already alluded to this, that God knows we need reminding. He tells us in the scriptures over and over and over again to remember. I didn't count how many times. But if you go into Deuteronomy, we repeatedly see, take care lest you forget. Take care lest you forget. Take care lest you forget what you saw in coming out of Egypt. Take care lest you forget the covenant. Take care lest you forget the Lord, your God. Israel's prone to forget. God reminds them over and over. So take care lest you forget. Rather, remember. So in Exodus 13, they're to remember the Exodus. Remember this day that God brought you out of Egypt. And then again in Deuteronomy, remember what God did to Pharaoh. Remember the signs and wonders that you saw. Remember how God sustained you in the wilderness. He sustained them with manna, water from the rock. Their shoes didn't wear out. Had the discussion on our dining room table. Shoes will last about 4 years, which is good, because maybe after 5 years they've gone out of fashion. But these lasted for 40 years, trudging through the wilderness. They didn't wear out. Just remember that. When you come into the promised land, remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the ability to gain wealth. Lest you forget. And you become proud. He says, remember what the Lord did to Miriam. I'm just going to let that sit there. If you don't remember what the Lord did to Miriam, maybe you have some homework this afternoon. But remember what the Lord did to Miriam. He says, remember what Amalek did to you. And it's not just an Old Testament issue. Yeah, those Israelites had a hard time with memory. We have the same problem. And we're told the same things in the New Testament. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. And if you don't know what happened to her, a little more homework. Remember what happened to Miriam. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus said that we're to remember the word that he spoke. What did he say? If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. We ought not be surprised then when Christians are persecuted. Whether it's in this country, other countries, in a small way or in a big way. If they persecuted Jesus, and they did, since they persecuted him, they will persecute us as well. Don't forget that. Don't be caught by surprise. And Peter's already addressed that in 1 Peter. Don't think it unusual at the fiery ordeal that some are undergoing. The Lord said it was more blessed to give than to receive. Paul tells us that. Remember what the Lord said. He writes to the Romans in Romans 11. In regards between the Gentile and the Jew relationship, to the Gentiles, don't forget, remember that it is not the branches that support the root, but it is the root that supports the branches. He's addressing the possibility of anti-Semitism. that somehow the Gentiles become proud versus the Jews. He says, remember, remember. Very practically in Hebrews, we're told to remember prisoners. We're told to remember our leaders. And then interestingly, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're told, remember the predictions of the prophets and the commands of Jesus. And Jude says, remember the predictions of the apostles. They function as prophets. Remember what they said. Paul writes to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. You ever thought that maybe you might forget him? Remember Jesus Christ. And then if you have your Bibles close by, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Two passages briefly I want you to look at, have in front of your eyes. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Paul writes this, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Paul says, I want to remind you of the gospel. Turn that over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. A little bit to the right, page 1242. And this particularly for us. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, that's most of us, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Remember that. We who are once far off, separated, no hope, have been brought near in Christ. You get the idea? God is serious about us remembering. And his apostles and prophets wrote to remind us. See, apostasy, it's a big word, means defection from the truth, departing from the truth. Apostasy is an ever-present, though not always clear, danger. We are always in danger of wandering away from the truth. We are always in danger of having the seed sown, snatched away by the evil one. We're always in danger of that seed being choked out by the deceitfulness of wealth and the priorities of the world. It becomes unfruitful. So we are to remember, because we're in need of remembering. But Peter here is not informing his readers of something new. He says that. He's confident they know the truth. But he is certainly in earnest. Peter is soon to die. And if you knew your death was soon, what would you tell your loved ones? What would you remind your friends? What's most important that you would tell them? It's in John 21 that Peter is actually told how he will die. When he gets older, he's going to be led to a place of execution. And somehow he knows that this is quite soon now for him. And notice again, Peter says now that he is making every effort. Verse 15, I will make every effort so that after my departure, my exodus, you may be able at any time to recall these things. He likes this word, make every effort, be earnest. He's used it in verse 5 as a noun. For this very reason, make every effort, work at this, be diligent at this. He's used it in verse 10. Therefore, be all the more diligent, be eager. And now he says, I am this way. I am being diligent. I am eager to remind you of these things. In fact, he's seeking to rouse and wake up his readers. That's the word here for stir up. He wants to rouse them. Calvin says this on this passage. Peter is encouraging the faithful not to be overcome by laziness of the flesh. Because Peter is concerned that carelessness and self-indulgence might overthrow what they have learned. Peter wants none of that for his readers. And he's already suggested that possibility in verse 9. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. He's in earnest. Do not forget. So Peter says, I'm writing. I'm making an effort so that you can recall these things. Some believe he's referring to his own letter here. So that you can recall these things anytime. You can read it. There are others who believe that he's referring here to the Gospel of Mark. And that Peter's actually been working on writing down his experience with Jesus. And Mark's been taking down his notes so that he can leave behind a record so they can read it and consult. Well, let's remember. Either way, though, he is helping them to remember. He's giving them something practical. Read the letter. Read the gospel. And we need practical help in remembering. Simply saying remember will not work for some of us. So, some of us make lists. You can see that in the grocery store. Some people have a list, and they're checking things off. It might be on their phone. It might actually be paper and pencil. We set alarms. They remind us of things. Someone will remind you to get up. Others throughout the day, oh yeah, I need to do something. I need to check something. I haven't seen a finger with a string around it for a long, long time. But people used to do that. They tie a string around a finger. It didn't really matter what finger, what string, or anything like that. All it reminded them was, oh yeah, I have to do something. And usually that process of tying the string was enough to trigger that memory. Oh yeah, I need to stop at Aldi on the way home. But simply remembering, it's not really just a mental effort. Simply remembering is not enough. It really is to lead to action. So how do you know that you know, or how do you know that you're remembering? Well, you're doing what you were supposed to do. So how do we remember? Repetition works. You get into some habits, and you don't really even then have to consciously remember. It's just our habit. So Israel was to remember the Sabbath day. Their calendar was a way to remember. Every seventh day, they would remember their deliverance from Egypt. And so we as the church, we meet on the first day of the week or the eighth day of the week, if you prefer. And it reminds us of our salvation. We remember by meeting on the day in which Jesus was raised from the dead. It's a reminder of our salvation. Israel wore tassels on their garments. And Moses says, you're going to see the tassel and remember the commands of the Lord to do them. So just as they walked around, their clothing had tassels on it to remind them of the commands of the Lord. There's nothing connected necessarily to the commandments of the Lord to tassels. But God made that connection. You'll see the tassel and remember the commands to do them. Many, many Jews place mezuzahs, I think that's how you pronounce that, on their doorpost. It's a little box in which there are texts from the Torah, the law. And they see it on their way in and out. Some of them touch it. It's just a reminder of who they are and how they are to live as they go out into the world and as they come home again. How do I live in my home? It reminds us that I belong to the Lord God. Maybe some of you have done that. Maybe you have in your home the Ten Commandments posted on the wall. Maybe you have some picture that particularly reminds you of something God has done and he calls you to do. And if you don't, maybe it's a good idea. A way to remember. Israel celebrated yearly feasts 3 times a year. They got together to remember what God had done. And so we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We do it 6 times a year. Some would like to do it 12 times a year. Some would like to do it 52 times a year. But it's a way to remember. In fact, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. In my honor. And we eat and we drink and we remember our salvation. We read and we reread the scriptures. There are reading plans to help people go through the Bible in a yearly or every other year to get through the scriptures. Some churches have the tradition of the church calendar to remind them how they're to live and how things operated in the history of Jesus in his life. Historically, stained glass was used to tell stories, to remember. And so we are to remember. But remembering has a purpose. Remembering for the sake of remembering is not enough. If I ask you, did you remember Valentine's Day? Some of you just went, oh no. Yeah, that's more than just, yeah, I remembered it was February 14th. Remembering Valentine's Day said you acted on it. You brought a flower home. Maybe you brought some chocolate. That's how you remember things. Like, did you remember it was my birthday? Yeah, I remember by the card. I didn't just, I remember it's your birthday. We're not moved by that. We want to see action. And this is Peter's concern. He desperately wants his readers to remember so that they will put these traits, they will live out these qualities. Why? So that they might be effective and fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants them living out the 7 virtues so they might gain entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior. That this will be their word of assurance that I have been called, I have been chosen because I see the fruit of it in my life. And I don't forget that I have been cleansed and I have escaped the corruption that is in the world. See, the goal of remembering is faithful obedience and the giving of thanks. That's really where this leads. Because disobedience springs from forgetfulness. And what I found interesting in Deuteronomy is how often it's put, be careful lest you forget and worship other gods. That's the evidence that they have forgotten. And so God begins the Ten Commandments You shall have no other gods before me. And if you know Old Testament history, you know that Israel has many gods. They put many gods before God. They forget. They forget. That's how you know you've begun to forget. When you find yourself in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. And you wonder sometimes, how did I get here? How did this happen to me? It's because we forget. And we don't remember. Or we've become self-satisfied. And we've become proud. And we think we've attained this. And we think, oh, I'm beyond that. So Peter says, don't forget your cleansing. In essence, he's saying, don't forget your identity in Christ. You in him and he in you. If you have been crucified with Christ, live like it. Remember your identity. See, Peter says here he's soon going to lay aside his tent. It's a great word picture. He's talking about his body. And Peter, in using this language, is reminding us that he's on pilgrimage. He also uses the word exodus. It's translated departure here. So it's tying in to the greater history of coming out of Egypt in an exodus and then traveling by tent on the way to the promised land. And Peter says, I'm about to lay aside my tent. He's not from here. Peter's a pilgrim. So are you. So am I. We ought not to get too caught up in the things of the world. Just remember who you really are. Remember where your homeland really is. Scroll down your Facebook, your own, not somebody else's, and see if somebody just scanned down this, would they know that I'm actually not from here? What do we post about? What do we get fired up about? Weigh in on social media about this or that, whatever. We're not from here. You're a pilgrim just passing through. And soon, some of us will lay aside our tent. That's okay, because our hope is a permanent hope. Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a place for you, for me, for all those who put their faith and hope in him. A permanent home. The city of God. We're not there yet. We're still on pilgrimage. But to help us and assure us, Christ has said, I'm going to give you another helper. In John chapter 14, he describes the coming of the Spirit who will be with us. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And he will encourage you and bring to memory what I have said. The real instrument of remembrance is the Holy Spirit. It's not the calendar. It's not the string on the finger. It's not even our weekly schedule. The real key to remembrance is the Holy Spirit, who buries it into our heart, and it grows there and bears much fruit. And he's given us a Spirit by whom and with whom we are to walk, which is why Peter, I didn't read this, verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's the Spirit. That is the divine power. And so we're to live then and can live as the Lord desires. So Peter is rousing us up to remember. Hebrews 10:24, we're to do this for each other. Different word, same concept. Stir up one another. The word there is provoke. That is a negative view, but I like that. You gotta poke people. Provoke them. And if you've had kids, you know exactly what I mean by that. You've seen it. And if you had siblings, you may be either the victim or the perpetrator of that. But you know what it is to be provoked. The writer of the Hebrews says, provoke one another to love and good deeds. Not to provoke them to retaliation. Provoke to love and good deeds. So Peter is stirring us up and rousing us up for memory. And the writer of the Hebrews says, stir up one another to love and good deeds. We have a role to play in helping one another remember, so that we together can enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not just about me. It's not every man for himself. We'll all get there. I want you to remember, and I hope you want me to remember, so that we together will have this entrance to the kingdom richly supplied. But maybe today you've been sitting here this whole time thinking, I have nothing to remember. It's possible that some of us here are still in our corruption. We have not been delivered. There is no salvation to remember because we haven't received it. We haven't experienced it. If that's true, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. You who are still mired in the world through the power of the world and our flesh and the evil one. If today you're discouraged and weighed down, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And then you will have something to remember. That once you were dead, but now you're alive in Christ. May this be the day of salvation. If that's you, ask him to save you. And if you don't know what that means, you can talk to me afterwards. I'd be happy to talk to you. You probably talk to anybody in this room, almost anybody in this room, and they would be happy to talk to you. Do you know what he's talking about? Do you remember your salvation? So, some of us, though, may have stuff to remember, we just have a hard time remembering it. And today, the word to you by the Spirit is remember. Turn. Repent. Come back to Jesus. Come back to our Lord who freely pardons. And experience anew that freedom that you once knew in Christ. Hear this divine memo. It comes from the pen of Peter, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. Remember. Remember who you are in Christ, so that we together might bear much fruit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for reminding us. Thank you for Peter's ministry, and even Paul's. We've read that in Philippians. That I'm writing to remind you is no big deal. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm writing to remind you of the gospel. Here, Peter's stirring us up to remember. And it's possible, well, he did leave us the gospel of Mark, so that we can remember. Lord, Holy Spirit, help us to remember, but not just a mental remembering. May we remember in word and deed as we live.